I'm Sharon Orr. I'm taking a leap, and I turn the meeting over to John.
Hi, family, I'm John, I'm an addict.
Hey, John.
First and foremost, I thank God and the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. Man, this is crazy. It's through him and you that I'm here today, right? And when I say here, I don't just mean standing here. I mean like freedom from active addiction, like spiritually alive, fresh, believing in myself, like God, isn't this good, right? Like, isn't recovery good? Isn't this a miracle that we get to be a part of this process, that we get to sit here and participate in a convention where there's thousands of others of addicts who are just as big a miracle as us, and we're all in one place? You know, I've been clean for 11 years, and that never doesn't blow my mind, right? Because, like, I can come to a place like this, and I look out, and I'm just surrounded by the miracle. Right? I'm surrounded by people who hurt just like me, who were broken just like me, who had pretty much given up on life just like me, but somehow we found a way. And I guess that brings us to our topic, a leap of faith. The one thing more than anything else that we have in common is how we start. Right? And we don't start in the process of recovery without a leap of faith. So I want you to take a second and rewind time a little bit in your head. I want you to think back to that first day, the day before the first day, how you felt in that moment, what it felt like physically, spiritually, emotionally. You know, I can take you back to mine. November 7th, 2005. I'm sitting alone in a prison cell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I weigh 160 pounds. For reference, this is 230, right? I'm a fugitive from another state. I have 11 felony indictments in that state waiting for me, right? I had just kicked methadone in prison a few months before, but then left and used again. I had never been in more pain in my life. I had used with my father on my last run, and he overdosed and died in the hotel room I left him in. I was $40,000 in debt. My family situation was in ruins. I had no license. I had no friends. And for a second, I came to believe. You see, it's in our darkest moment that we find the faith. Right? There was nothing special about November 7th, 2005. Despite all that records, that was a regular day in my active addiction. It wasn't my first prison, right? But something was different that day. All the times I had spent in meetings not listening, right? All the sponsorship that I had ignored finally came through to me. But something happens in the process of recovery. Which one's you? Which one's me? This one. We forget. We forget what God's capable of. Right? Because daily life shows up, and then we no longer have faith that we will get through it. When we've already overcome the greatest crisis of our lives, surviving active addiction, when the miracle's already taken place, you know, things will go wrong with our job, and we'll think that, oh, we can't get through it clean. Right? People come to me all the time, and they say, John, I lack faith. Right? I can't believe in something I don't have proof in. I lack faith. You don't lack faith. You just believe in the wrong thing. Right? Because you believe, without any evidence, that things are going to continue to go wrong, even though you have no proof of that. You believe, without question, that your life is going to get worse, or that that person that left you was the last good thing that's ever going to happen to you, or the job of your dreams is the best job you're ever going to get. You believe that without evidence. Even though every moment of your life that led you up to this moment has been nothing short of a miracle. Right? Not the fact that you were born. The chances of being born, right, is one in a billion. You have a better chance of hitting the Powerball than being born. Yet here we all are, right? You're a human being. You're at the top of the food chain. You could have been any species on this planet, but you're a human being. And more than anything else, you survived active addiction, right? And there is bodies upon bodies upon bodies out there right now just wishing they were you. There's mothers and fathers and wives and husbands who were wishing that their loved one that they lost was you. Yet we give up on God's ability to change our life on small matters when he's already proven what he can do with the big ones. Right? We're sitting there, where's God? Where's God? And he's like, I'm right fucking here. But sometimes we don't like how he's there, right? Right? He tells us which way to go. We can ask for the help. But here's the thing about faith that people often get confused about. Faith is not a belief. Faith is not a feeling. Faith isn't what you think. And faith isn't what you say. Faith is exhibited in what you do. And if you don't take the corrective actions to walk you in the direction of what you have faith in, you are not going to get there. Right? Because I have been failed in Narcotics Anonymous many more times than this last time that I got clean. I had come in a dozen times and sat in the back and didn't ask for help and didn't expose my problem and didn't work on the steps. And the steps is the key to the whole thing. Right? Because the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous is what will transcend your faith into the one that's convinced that life is happening to you to something that believes that life is happening for you. Right? And you will not respond to everything that goes wrong in your life in crisis mentality. And like, that was my story. If you would have asked me this at the time, I wouldn't have agreed to it. But I was the consummate victim. I used because my dad was an addict. He was an alcoholic. My life was terrible. I had a reason for everything, right? Accountability was nowhere in my vocabulary. But the truth of the matter was, it wasn't until I was able to take accountability for what I was doing, right? For my part, that everything changed. And, I started my process in this. And here's the funny thing about faith. Like, I had been in a dozen treatment centers, psych units, methadone clinics. And, like, do you ever have that temporary faith, right? Where you walk into one of those places and you're sitting there and you're going, I'm not going to use again. Right? And you believe that shit with every fiber of your being. Like the time before I got clean, I had walked into a prison cell on 140 milligrams of methadone. I had been on it for a year, right? And I had went in there, and the detox started to hit me while I was in there for a month. I lost 60 pounds in 30 days, right? I felt the worst pain I'd ever felt in my life. I was on suicide watch in prison. And if you've never been on suicide watch in prison, don't do it. It's horrible, right? They'll strip you naked. They'll hog tie you. They'll throw you on the ground. And if you're like me, there'll be a fucking school trip of wannabe young women that are going to be nurses or doctors walking through and looking at how pathetic this guy is. And I sat on that floor covered in my own piss, covered in my own throw up, and I said and I meant that I was never going to use again. And I still used because I didn't do a goddamn thing about it different. Faith without action is wishing. You know, so something different happened this time. You know, I didn't get right out. You know, I got sentenced to a 1 to 3 year prison bid in New Jersey. And for a year, that faith maintained. And it was something I had never experienced before. I had came to believe that you guys were going to help me, and I held on to that belief. And it wasn't temporary, and it wasn't empty, and I did everything I could, because you have to feed your faith, or your disease will overcome it. So every day I prayed, every day I wrote, and I would write stuff, and I would just mail it to my mom, because I didn't have anyone else to talk to, and I didn't want anyone in prison to find it, right? So every day, I just kept telling myself, hang on there, keep your faith. This sacrifice will, you know, eventually be success. If you just endure this, if you just hang on a little bit longer, one day you are going to experience freedom. And I believe that. I had faith in that. I didn't have any proof of it, but I believed it with everything that I was. And I did something that changed my life the day they finally let me out. I made a meeting the first night out. You see, I had been given that direction for many years, but I was always very, very busy being homeless and on the methadone clinic. I didn't have time for meetings the first day out. I had a lot of shit to take care of. Yeah. But you guys accepted me, who I was. You know, you accepted me as a convicted felon. You accepted me with no license, with no friends, with having used with my father, and he died in a hotel room. You accepted me being $40,000 in debt. You accepted me in the state that I was. You believed in me before I could believe in myself. And I am eternally grateful to you for it. You know, so I started this process, and like, this is all about faith. You know, one of the key messages, you know, we talk about a leap of faith in the beginning, but throughout the process of your recovery, you are going to be challenged, right? Life isn't going to go your way, not because you've done anything wrong. Like, oftentimes we hear this thing in Narcotics Anonymous is that if you do the right things are going to happen. That's fucking bullshit, right? That's not what's going to happen. If you do the right thing, life is still going to happen. But if you do the right things, you're going to be in the best position to deal with whatever happens. Because check this out. This is one thing I know for sure. Is that as long as you come around here, there will be pain, but there will be sunshine. And you need to be spiritually equipped to deal with both. Right? And I didn't always believe that. Right? I didn't always have faith. I could only do work if I saw like a short-term reward for me. Right? God has everything changed. You know, and it's funny, just sitting up here saying God, 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 God. Look, the awesome thing about Narcotics Anonymous, God is this, in this place, is the only place in the world that the word God unifies instead of divides. Right? Because I don't care what you call God as long as you call Him. I'm not here to tell you to believe in God, but I am here to tell you to work 12 steps. Work the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous and tell me you don't believe in God. Tell me that you haven't found throughout your step work irrefutable evidence of a power greater than yourself working in your life in some way that relates to you personally. Not the way that I understand God, but the way that you do. I had a better understanding of who I thought God was when I got here than I do today. I have no idea what His name is, what book He's in, where you can find Him, but I feel Him today. And I believe with every fiber of my being that if I keep investing in myself and in His way of life, that I'm going to be all right. And through that, in the process of recovery, not active addiction, God has carried me through my greatest fears when they've come true. Right? Because everything with me and my addiction and my life, everything that's fucked up with me is a direct relation with the way that I related myself to my father. You know, my father was an alcoholic and he lost my wife, my mom, he lost his wife, he lost his kids, and then he died, and I put on myself that I was him no matter what. Right? And when I was young, I swore I wasn't going to use, but I wound up using anyway. And when I got older, I decided that I needed to be this, like, player and not get in relationships because someone was going to hurt me the way they hurt him. You know, someone that I love was going to leave me and I wasn't going to be able to handle it. That I was going to lose everything and die like he did. Well, check this out. Through the process of recovery, like, I came in here and I learned how to love again. Right? I learned how to be in a committed relationship again. And I got in one. And we were together for 6 years. And we bought a house. And we booked a wedding in Mexico. And we had two little dogs. And she left. But I didn't use. Right? Because my faith isn't conditional on the situations in which I find myself in. And what God had proven to me in Narcotics Anonymous had proven to me in that moment is that I'm greater than what my father could have been because of this program. I am not destined to his failures because of this program, because I'm a different man today. I'm a better man today. I'm not limited by it. Because check this out. We get so caught up on this is the best. This is the best. She was the best. This was the best thing I ever had. Just because it's the best thing you ever had doesn't mean it's the best thing you're ever going to get. Don't put a limitation on what God can do for you based on what you know. Because that's the assumption, you know more than God. I ain't never been in a good relationship because that one was okay. I was convinced that's all it was ever going to fucking be. Check this out. Fast forward a couple years. Because I kept my faith in the bad times, I found out why that didn't work. Right? I found out She wasn't a fit for me. It wasn't nothing wrong with me, but God had someone so much better for me waiting on the other side. And if I stayed involved in the process of Narcotics Anonymous, I was going to be qualified for the blessing when it came. And a year later, I met the woman who's my wife today. And let me tell you, I had really sold myself short because I upgraded. But if I had used, because things had gone wrong, I would have never seen what God had in store for me. You know? And we have a son today, and that was all part of the thing. Like, I always said, I hate kids, fuck kids. This was like 2 years ago, right? I don't like kids, it's adjustable rate mortgage, right? All the, you know, anything to deflect, right? But the truth was, I was afraid I wasn't going to be a good father because my dad wasn't a good father, and I saw what it did to me. But when the time came that me and my wife found out we were expecting, I knew I was qualified for the blessing that God was putting in front of me. And I couldn't imagine my life today without my son. Right? And these are the miracles that can take place in Narcotics Anonymous when we keep our faith in the good times and the bad. You know, and it extends to all areas of my life. I can tell you about my professional life, right? Like, you know, we think because we work hard and do the right thing, it's always going to work out, right? Like, I got this job in recovery. And I started at the bottom as an apprentice, and I worked my way up, and I graduated, and I paid off that $40,000 in debt, and I bought my first house, and I parked a brand new SUV out front, and the job laid me off. But I didn't use. I didn't stop going to meetings. I didn't blame God. God didn't lay me off. I called another recovering addict, and he said, come work with me tomorrow. So I took a job working for 1/3 of the money that I had been making previously, and I didn't care, because guess what? I show up today, right? I'm not too good to do anything, right? So I showed up, and I cut grass, and I hauled bricks, and I did jobs that I did in early recovery with years clean, and I did it with a smile on my face and a belief that God would provide. So as the weeks gone by, and the time ticked by, I wasn't sure, so I started looking at different schools and what could happen, and then eventually the job calls me back. And what is the first thing you think they asked me when they called me back? We need you to take a drug test, Mr. Beinlich. Okay. Check this out. Had I used, I never would have got back in there. I would have lost that job for good. And I wouldn't have seen the blessing that was waiting for me on the other side. Because what had looked like a bad thing when I had left there, what it did was free up my trajectory at that job. All of my bosses weren't my bosses anymore. And today, those bosses work for me. But that path would not have been possible without the pain that preceded it. You see, because when I went back, the place that was started back up again, started over, and everyone was equal. So the guy who was my team leader was now underneath of me. And then my supervisor, when I turned into that position, they became under me. And now I'm a manager, and I'm managing $1.5 million in labor hours. And I'm like, you fucking know I'm a junkie. They walked into a meeting the other day, and they're like, do you think we should spend 1.2 or 1.5? I'm like, what the fuck? I still got track mark scars on my arms. You guys are fucking nuts. It's just the way we get to look at life today, man. We get to live a life beyond our wildest dreams. And let me just say this for clarity. Because there ain't no guarantee you're going to have this amazing job. You're going to get all this stuff is fantastic. But the reason that I illustrate the fact that we overcome when we lose those things, because we do lose those things in recovery, what's important is the way that I feel. Right? The thing that they can't take away from me anymore. When my fiance left, when the job went, when the car crashed, when my mom got cancer, when I lost both my grandparents and my aunt in a span of a couple months, right? Like, when all these things happened in recovery, I don't lose everything anymore. Because no matter what I lose, I never lose you. No matter what I'm going through in my life, no matter what the world takes away from me, not God, the world, I know I can show up in a church basement or in a hall, and I'm going to be loved regardless of what my financial or relationship situation is. Right? They can't take this from us. Right? And I believe that with everything that I am. So I proceed in my life on a daily basis having faith that everything's going to be okay. Right? Not just for me, but for you. Right? And if you don't believe that, like, you need to start to believe. You need to start to believe in yourself and what you're capable of. You know, because I sit here today with 11 years clean and I know that I'm only scratching the surface of my greatest potential. Right? I know every day that, like, if my life isn't getting better financially, I know spiritually it's a limitless capability of what God can do for me. I know there's freedom on top of freedom on top of freedom that I want to get to. And if you're not there yet, I'm telling you, it's because you're not deep enough in the steps. Right? In year 11, I'm writing on my third step for the third time. And I'm going to keep going. Because every time that I go through the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, I find another level of freedom that I didn't know was possible. Right? The way that I feel on a daily basis, the happiness, the optimistic nature of who I am, it's just transcendent, and it's the total opposite of the man that walked in here. Or should I say boy? I'm not going to go on a whole lot longer here. But if you haven't found the faith to believe in something greater than you, I implore you to just take a look around at the people around you. You know, we're not here because we're bored, lack things to do. The reason I keep coming back to Narcotics Anonymous is because it works. The reason I show up to work every week is because they pay me at the end of the week. The reason I show up to the gym every morning is because I liked what it did to my body. And the reason I show up to Narcotics Anonymous day after day, year after year, is because I love the way that it makes me feel. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.